And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. No gambling this week. We're going to give Keith Stewart a day off. PNC father-son this week, though. Tiger Woods playing with Charlie. John Daly with his son and many more. Love this event down in Orlando. And we'll have to wait for that. I think it's only 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week. So I thought, let's bring back one of our favorite guests. And I know he's probably got a few things to say to me on how things are going in the world of professional golf. He joins us from his home in Arizona, the Hall of Famer, Ryan Urlacher. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, Travis. How are you?
This is a little intimidating because you have your Hall of Fame bus behind you over your shoulder, just staring at me right now.
I can move my screen if you want me to. You don't have to see him.
Look at him. He's just staring at me right now.
Like he's right over my right shoulder there, glaring at you.
So, like, I've gotten to know you over the last couple years, and like, you're a pretty happy-go-lucky guy, down to earth, just have fun. And is it just like a switch you got on that football field and like, man, I'm just pissed off. I'm gonna knock someone out? Or
I didn't play mad. I played the same way. I feel like, you know, there were some times I did get violent and angry on the field, but for the most part, I'm the same way all the time. My former teammates would tell you the same thing. There were times when I was a dick. Obviously, you have to have that in you a little bit, but for the most part, I was happy to be out there. Man, I had a great job for 13 years. I got to smash people, you know, and not get in trouble for the most part.
You don't watch much anymore, do you? You don't watch much pro.
I do. You know, I have started watching more the last couple of years, and now we got this package where we can watch it. So for a couple of years there, we only had one game on at a time here at our house. So kind of, you know, we were limited to what we could watch, and now we get all the games. So it's fun to watch the ones we bet on. So it's a little bit more fun and entertaining.
We'll get to golf here in a second because, you know, we got to catch up. You and I.
For sure.
We were on the podcast a year and a half ago. You were in Jersey. You were getting ready to play in the Pro-Am for LIV Golf. So a lot of things has changed in the pro world. So we'll catch up to that here in a second. But I'm curious, for someone like you who played the game at the highest level, when you watch the pro game today, is it that different than when you played? And is it for the better or for the worse, do you think? I know that's a loaded question, but just give me some cliff notes.
It's a lot different, if you ask me. The running game is pretty much non-existent for the most part. They use the screens and the little bubble passes now to get you 3 or 4 yards that you normally get in the running game. Obviously, the rules are the number one thing. Mm-hmm. The one thing I can't stand, Travis, is how much control the refs have of the game. And it's always been that way, you know, but these days, man, it's getting magnified more and more by the calls they're blowing or the ones they're calling. So the Kansas City game last week, you know, everyone saw Mahomes, who never gets upset, never really says anything bad about the refs, and he could have the week before versus Green Bay, because that was a blatant PI that didn't get called, in my opinion. And I'm a defensive guy, but that was a PI they didn't call. And then they call Tony offsides, offensive offsides. He lined up in the same position 5 times in that game, and they called it that. They called it that the 5th time. They didn't warn him. Usually when you do that, you know, say your offensive tackle lines up, you know, they always look like they're lined up in the backfield to me. They're always too far back. They're not on the line of scrimmage. They'll let him get away with it. Then they tell him, hey, if you don't do it next time, I'm going to flag you. They warn you. D-lineman, they'll warn him, say, hey, back your hand up 3 inches, whatever, I'm going to call you. They didn't warn him 1 time. It was a penalty, no doubt about it, but the timing was bad. And if you're pissing off Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, something's wrong, you know, because those two guys are pretty happy-go-lucky, as you would say, for the most part, all the time. Those two guys are pretty happy and pretty – they get along with everyone for the most part, and they were not happy about that call. So it cost them the game, obviously. But, the physicality was a big part of the game back when I played. It's not as much anymore with the new rules that they put in place.
It just, you know, I'm a huge NFL fan, and I don't know, man. It just feels like the product is kind of down this year, doesn't it? Just overall, do you feel like the product is – I mean, I'm always going to watch the NFL, but it just feels like quarterback play. There's a lot of backups, some bad quarterback play. I don't know how you play defense in the NFL these days, especially
How do you play corner?
How do you play corner? Safety, I mean, how do you hit someone and try to, you know, really impose your will and your physicality on a receiver coming across the middle and say, hey man, don't do that, right? Because if you do, here's what happens. I just don't know how you play defense.
Agreed. There's no repercussions for the quarterback throwing that ball, right? He knows he can throw it across the middle. This guy's gonna hopefully go up and try and catch it for him because he's not have to worry about getting hit. It's just, you know, I don't know if the quarterback plays bad. I'm gonna say the defenses are getting better. They're adjusting better, Travis. That's what's happening. There's some great defensive players in the league right now as well. Okay. There's some good young guys. Obviously, the veteran guys are still there, but there's some good players out there on both sides of the football. In late the season, that's when, you know, the teams that are playing good right now are probably teams that are healthy, right? You know, you get late in the season, guys start getting hurt. You look at your Jaguars, you know, Trevor Lawrence gets hurt. I thought he broke his leg.
Achilles,
and that looked horrible. And then he plays the next week. Tough kid. You know, I really like watching him play, so I'm glad he played. But it's injuries now late in the season. Whoever's the healthiest is probably going to be the best.
All right, let's get to golf because I know you know, you're retired. You play a lot of golf. You do a lot of fishing here in Florida. We were texting back and forth. And you're like, I can't. I'm playing golf that day. I'm playing golf that day.
I gave you my golf schedule for the week.
Like, wait a minute. What? Okay, just text me what day you're not playing golf, and then we'll see if we can make this work. So I appreciate you jumping on before you go out and play golf this afternoon.
Sure. Yes.
And a lot has changed, all right, in the world of professional golf. You know, I don't even know where to start, to be quite honest with you. I've over the last few weeks, you know, I feel like, you know, just pick a topic, you know, official world golf rankings. Let's roll the ball back. Get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, PGA about the
Tour Live, you know, they jump on in what, April? And we're like, we're going to team up. We've got this framework agreement, you know, just last few days, John Rahm signs for $600 million going over. So look, it's wide open right now. Someone who makes a living in this business, it's great for podcast world and talking about professional golf because there's plenty to talk about. But yet at the end of the day, I find myself thinking whether you like Live or not, whether you like the PGA Tour or not, whether you like DP World Tour or not, it's so fragmented. I don't think it's great for the game. They continue to go down this path and golf's just eating itself, which I hate because for someone who's been in the business for a long time, you know, you've seen the growth since COVID, you know, and this studio has benefited from that. So let's just start with your love and passion for Live.
I'm gonna say golf. I love PGA Tour.
Okay.
I love golf, man. I love high school golf if it's on TV. I love women's college golf, men's college golf. If it's on TV, I'm watching it.
Well, let's just start with as a fan. Right. Okay. Someone who, as a fan watching golf, when you look at the landscape and some of the cliff notes that I just put out there, what's your take on what's happening right now? You think it's good?
More golf to watch for me. You know, there's more chances to go to events. There's more chances to watch it on TV. I know the coverage isn't great. It's better than it was. I'll tell you that much. CW is definitely much better than it was on the live stream for Liv. But more golf for me to watch and more events to go to. You know, there's more chances, not just for me, but people all around the world. With the Liv goes all over the place, right? They pretty much hit everywhere. They got a chance to watch more golf in person and be closer to the players because the players are all on the range at the same time for Liv events. You know, they all tee off at the same time. They're all on the range at the same time. They're all doing the same schedule. So it's much easier if you go out there and watch an event to get close to those guys and see the guys you want to see if you're fans of them.
So you've been to a couple Liv events, right? Mm-hmm. And have participated in the Pro-Am. You've watched as a spectator, you've watched it on TV. Is this from your perspective, is this like something that you think professional golf, this is what it should look like right here? The PGA Tour should adapt to this. This is what it should look and feel like, let's say, beginning in the next couple of years if a deal does come together.
I don't know about that. You know, so Live is just different because the vibe out there, it's fun. You go out there, there's music playing. Have you been to an event yet?
No, I'm going to go this year. I'm going this year.
It's fun, man. I know you hate all the fun stuff that they get to wear shorts and, you know, all that. I know it goes against everything every pro has ever thought in their life.
No,
shorts in a professional golf tournament. Anyway, so it's so fun. You know, like I said, they're all on the range together. You can walk down the range and talk to any guy. The same way with the pro-ams, they're out there, but the music's playing throughout. It's not loud, but there's some music in the golf course. They have the Club 54 on the 18th hole or wherever it may be. It's just fun, man. It's a different vibe. The pro-ams I played in, you show up and they're accommodating to us because I've been to some pro-ams that weren't for Liv, and they're not quite as nice when you get there and try and help you in short because we don't know where to go. You know, you get there, you're like, Liv's like, Mr. Urlacher, here's your locker. Where's your caddy? We'll have a caddy for you. Here's your gift bag. Go in there. You can eat breakfast here. Go over there. They're very accommodating. And I understand there's less players, so they can be that way, you know.
Yeah.
But there's just the niceness level is at all time. Greg Norman said hi to me. Every time I saw him, he made a point to come up and say hi to me. Just pretty fun to be out there.
Yeah, they've done a good job. They've done a good job with some of the touch points. You know, there's no question. Like a lot of the touch points, they've done a good job. I think like when you look at it, because I want to stay from it from a fan perspective, and then I want to scan back out from a golf perspective, because I do think from a fan perspective, people that know me, let me just say this, and you know me, I like to have fun and a good time too. Yeah. Like I like to hoop it up. I am so the furthest
like,
from the.
Like, I play golf at home. How about that? It's with music on. It's fun. Yeah. It's my buddies. We're having fun. So I didn't thought this. So I just add in there as well.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I am like, look, I don't, when I go play golf, it's with my friends here in Florida that are not going to bog me down with, hey, take a look at my swing. And let's work on, what do you think I should do here? Did I pull that? Why did I, like, I'm not out there working. I like to have a few pops. I like to smoke a cigar, play some music and, you know, and just have fun with it. And I'm totally casual that way. I grew up in Northern Idaho, on a 9-hole golf course where like serious golf was number 7 on the list, you know? And so I'm
serious, a lot of money on the line out there as well.
Well, you know, I think that's up for discussion. And I think a lot of these guys do take it pretty serious. They keep themselves
the amount of money they play for.
Well, I think there's a lot of money that's being made before they tee it up. I'm not debating that most of these guys don't take it serious and stay pretty polished on their game and go out. Mm-hmm. I think that's a different discussion. Okay. And I think the casualness of the tour, I think there could be a leg of that in professional golf that works. Now, do I want that to be what professional golf looks like completely? No.
No. I agree with you.
I don't. You know, I think it's too casual. I think it's too forced. And we've talked about this, and we've went back and forth on it. But I do think there is some interest, you know, when you look at a fan base that's going to gravitate to that, a younger fan base that could potentially gravitate to that. I would say, though, Brian, and where I would push back a little bit in the last couple of years is they've had a lot of big names. They've played. They've put a lot of money out there with Brooks, with Bryson and others, and they haven't been able to attract much of a fan base. They're not going to share the numbers. No one's watching on TV. Well, there's 500 tickets sold at Miami. They've had a little bit of a runway here to say, hey, this is what we think golf should look like. Other than Adelaide, you know, out there in Australia, which was a good success. I think the one down in Thailand was a pretty good success. Like they've had some success in some markets internationally, but I think overall, 2 years, big names, a lot of money invested. People are kind of saying, "Nah, I don't think this is what professional golf should look like either. I'm out."
Okay.
They haven't been able to attract that audience. I mean,
so the events, the tournaments I've been to was the complete opposite of what you just described about the events. Bedminster was out of control. People everywhere. Where else did I go? The one in Chicago, Rich Harvest, was awesome as well. The Chicago fans love golf. It was also awesome. So I'm not sure what events you're hearing or what, you know, maybe the TV coverage wasn't great, so you didn't see all the fans out there. But there's a lot of fans at all the events, but they're not trying to get sponsor money. They don't really give a piss about, you know, who sponsors their tournaments or who,
right,
you know, so the TV money may not be there. The TV deals may not be there the way they are on the PGA Tour, because the PGA Tour needs those sponsors to run, if I'm not correct.
Well, the PGA Tour is trying to.
Maybe the money they hid can sponsor or can make the tour go for a while. The money that they put aside there for that the players weren't supposed to know about.
Yeah,
maybe
they
can live off that for a while.
And I'm not really defending the tour. I'm just speaking at it from my thought on where the professional game is going. I think I look at the LIV model. I mean, let's face it. This is not a business model that's trying to make money. I mean, it's just not. I mean, you can't spend that amount of money and expect that you're going to get any kind of return in the first year, first 3 years, first 5 years. Like the model doesn't make sense at all. It just doesn't.
Do you think they care about any of that?
I know they don't. So it's
care. They're just trying to put professional golf out there on a stage, and it's working. In my opinion, the events are the ones I've been to were a blast. They're fun. The fans were great. They're very interactive with the players. You see Brooks going up in the stands, you know, at the Miami event at Club 54. There's just stuff you won't see on the tour. You know, it's different. Right. Some people may like it. Some people may not. I like both models. You know, I'm a big fan of PGA Tour, huge fan. A lot of friends out there, a big fan of LIV. So I like golf, man.
Does everyone, do you think right now on tour, have a price? Does everyone have a price?
I don't know. I mean, Tiger didn't have a price, right?
Yeah.
I bet you Rory doesn't have a price to go over there. You couldn't pay him enough money to leave after what he said to go over there. A couple other guys. I think the guys who are now, you know, the PGA Tour's guys, you know, that they kind of singled out to talk shit about Liv, those guys won't leave. They don't have a price because the PGA Tour will just make them more whole in the long run.
Does it bother you when you look at a player like a Jon Rahm, who for a year and a half actively was like, you know, Liv is not for me and here's why. And he listed the reasons. And all of these things went about with Jon Rahm and Liv. Didn't like the format.
Yeah.
And he was actively, he was one guy that was
the format, right?
That was he spoke probably in more length than most of the big name players against Liv. Now Rory had some things to say too.
Oh, hold on. Against the format, Travis, not against Liv. It was against the format that they were playing. I don't think he disliked Liv. It was against the format. He also spoke when Bryson shot 58. Wow, great job on any golf course, Greenbrier. Eugenio Chicara won an event at the same time he won his in Spain, I believe. And he said something nice about Eugenio in his press conference after the thing. So I don't think he's talking bad about Liv. He's talking bad about the format, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but mostly it was about the format.
I don't have all the talking points in front of me, but I know Rahm was not a fan of Liv. Let's put it that way.
The format, like agreed. The format.
No, I think there was more to it than just – anyway. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, he wasn't as outspoken as some guys.
So all of a sudden, the money's right, and he jumps on. So you're okay with that? Like someone
– huh? You know, so his legacy is going to be amazing now. So what's his legacy in your opinion? What is his legacy, Travis?
Well, his legacy is one of the greatest players from Spain.
His legacy is his family. His legacy is his family. You guys can put the golf legacy, the golf shit in there, or the football. You guys, but in my opinion, as a former professional athlete, my legacy is my family, not football. Football was a small part of my life that, you know, opened up some doors for me. But my legacy is my family, not what I do on the football field. I'm like, yeah, that was great. That was a small part of my life. But my legacy is my family. I'm sure most of these guys feel the same way. Golf's a bigger part of their life than football was of mine because they can play for longer. But his family is his legacy. You can, you know, all you golf guys can dissect it. You know, well, now he's left. You know, he's Brandon Chambly will probably say he should be kicked out of every event he should ever play in or whatever. But it's not the case. It's his family's his legacy, and that's well taken care of for generations.
So I'm not gonna disagree with that, right? I mean, I'm not gonna talk what your family means to you and all that, but I'm just talking at work and the importance of Jon Rahm in the professional golf space. One of the greatest players from Spain. We know that he looked up to Seve and continuing to push that legacy and what Seve meant to professional golf forward and his relationship with Sergio Garcia and all those things. I mean, just being from Spain and carrying that out as one of the greatest players, I think means something to John. And he spoke very candidly about what the PGA Tour meant to him and playing against the best players and stacking up against history and all those things. Clearly, all of those things that he laid out, you know, just months ago, there's a price to that. And so for Rahm, it wasn't $1 million. It wasn't $2 million. It wasn't $3 million or $300 million. It wasn't $400 million. It wasn't, there's a price to that. And like where that stuff doesn't mean as much to you anymore. And then to take the 600 and now he's part of Liv and Liv is great and this and that, and he's going to grow the game and he's got a bigger stage and platform, which is false. And so like that's where I get a little sideways, Brian. With players is like, look, it's you go make your money and your family and take care of them. No one's going to push back on that. But on the way out, don't insult us with that. The reason that you're doing this is to grow the game and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When just months ago, it was a totally different turn. It was a totally different tune. So when you add it all up, look, everybody has a price to change their tune. That's the bottom line. Tiger probably doesn't. Rory probably doesn't. No, but Jon Rahm did.
The Tiger and Rory got the PGA Tour back in them. Whatever they say or whatever they need, they're going to give to them, right? But you look at Rahm. He's still going to play in every major for the next 5 years, correct? He's exempt for the next 5 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Say it again.
Right? Is Rahm exempt from every major in the next 5 years? Is that
I mean, he's in a good spot. Yeah, he's in a good spot.
You know, the next 5 years, he doesn't care. And then who knows what happens when they merge, this merger or whatever. It may not matter. And that's what's funny to me is, you know, all these guys that were anti-Liv, and they talked all this shit about Liv early on. And now the PGA Tour sells them out. You know, they're like, well, we're going to merge, or we're going to do this, whatever it's called. I don't know, the PIP fund or whatever. We're going to basically be partners with them. You know, they're looking like idiots because these guys got all this money to go. And a few players I've talked to, and maybe some announcers, are like, oh, Liv's going to be gone in a year anyway. It doesn't matter. These guys are all going to be screwed. They got their big money, but they're going to be, Liv's out of here. It's done, blah, blah, blah. It's not done. It's doing better than everyone expected. But yeah, I think
the only reason, thing, but the only, but yeah. let's, but the only reason it's better is because they have endless pocket. That's it. That's the only reason.
But that's the way it is. You're right. They have endless pocket. Right. That's the way it is, though.
I mean, it's so. I think everyone understands.
Why do you think the PGA Tour wanted to join with or merge up with them?
Because they have endless pockets. I mean, what do you want them to do? Like, well, you know, everybody, like, people take the stance, and I'm not defending the PGA Tour. What I'm coming at it from is Liv as an entity and a product of representing professional golf. Like, to me, it's not a business model. It's just an endless sum of money.
Should
that's being
golf be a business model? I didn't know professional golf was about business. I thought it was about the fans. Should it be a business model now?
It's clearly not about the fans if you looked at the TV product. And I'm not saying,
well, they're not trying to get sponsors either.
And I'm not, I think it is a business model. I think the NFL is a business. I think Major League Baseball is a business.
Of course it is for the owners. Yeah. I mean, they make all the damn money.
Right. And they're the one putting up the money, and they're the one doing
just
these
like
things.
So, the guys are putting up the money. They
but it's not a business model. Like, it's not, but that's what I'm saying. It's not a business model.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. It's just professional golf. It doesn't have to be business model.
It's just endless money.
It's a great business for the players.
So, amazing. So look, if you look at it from the PGA Tour perspective, like,
they can't compete.
No, they can't no compete. One can. Who can? Yeah. I mean, who can? Yeah. No one can. No
that's
one can compete.
Jumping, obviously. Plus, they talk to their guys who have gone to Liv and how much fun they're having, and the caddies, how much they take. The caddies love it because they actually take care of the caddies. You know, talking to these guys, like, you know, they're having a good time and they're playing less events, more time with their family, more money. What's the problem? It's great.
No.
It's a great
problem. The problem
great
is
for the players.
The problem is that that most, and it's been proven in 2 years that your biggest markets, they don't want to watch it. They don't like it.
I want to watch it. I love it.
Well, you want to watch it, but you're in
a
very small percent
of
that.
But I'm a golf fan. You won't watch it because you're not a golf
fan? I think some want to watch it. What I'm saying is that in the runway that they've had in 2 years with endless money and this huge, you know, they've had big names. I mean, it's not like they haven't had it.
They're getting bigger. It's crazy.
But no one tuned in and no one really went. Now, I think in certain markets across the world, it'll do well.
I had a good point for you, and then I forgot what I was going to say because you wouldn't quit talking.
Well, here's the other thing you like is you like the team game.
It's fun. It's a fun aspect, and now with the trades and stuff, it's pretty cool. Oh, here's what I was going to say, Travis.
Okay.
So, as a golf fan, I would think you'd be more excited about there being more opportunities for guys to get on the PGA Tour, right? And more guys to win. Now, with these great players leaving, there's more jobs available for guys to get on the PGA Tour. More sponsors exemptions for girls to come out there and play from the LPGA. Now they can get more invites to come play in these men's tournaments, right?
No. As a golf fan and someone who's in the business and someone who cares about professional golf and has for the last 25 to 30 years, clearly I don't think the Liv model and the look and feel and what it is what I want to be professional golf. It's not. Just not. Okay. That's just not what I think it should be.
Okay.
And where it should be. Now, do I think it should be exactly what the PGA Tour has been? Is it perfect? No, it's not.
No.
I don't think the TV product's good at all. I don't think I don't think they elevated their stars the way that they should have pre-Liv before this. So I mean there's always pros and cons to both sides, but I do know that what I watch on the Liv side is not what I think it should be. And so that leaves us to, okay, where we are right now. Well, golf's eating itself. You have this person over here who they have endless money that they're putting into it. And do I think they can do some good across the world in certain markets? Of course. Yeah, I think golf can be great across in certain markets. I have no problem with it being a world tour.
Yeah.
But do I want that to be what professional golf is and no PGA Tour at all? No, I don't.
Well, there's going to be a PGA Tour. Do you think that's going to go away? Yeah.
Is there?
I mean,
at this point, it can't sustain. Look, I mean, here's a PGA Tour right now.
They got all these elevated events now. You know,
how can you sustain when you have someone with endless money paying $600 million for John Rahm?
Rory's not going to leave.
So PIF has inflated the market, the business of professional golf itself so much. It's so overvalued now in what these guys have been paid that you can't compete with that. I mean, the PGA Tour has already tried to respond, elevate their purses.
Is it 48 or 54 guys in a tournament at LIV, right? That are relegated to play every weekend?
Yeah, but the PGA Tour is going to be diminished so much that it's not going to exist.
There's so many great players out there, though. I don't understand. I mean, and they're not going to offer LIV is not going to offer every guy on the PGA Tour a chance to come over to LIV.
They're certainly continue. I mean, Tony Finau said no. It'd be interesting to see what that is.
So a lot of guys don't want to go, and now with all these big guys leaving, they're going to have a chance to win more tournaments. You know, with the guys that are leaving going to LIV. Now the PGA tournaments will be a little more watered down, so they have a chance to win, right?
But you can't. My point is, in professional golf, back to my stance, like, you can't continue down this path where you have LIV doing their thing and the PGA Tour doing their thing. PGA Tour is trying to
merge,
trying to actually pay their bills, and LIV is
that's why they joined with PIF, so they could drop the lawsuits because they couldn't afford to keep fighting the
right.
lawsuits.
I mean, you can't. Yeah. I mean, because they have to get the books to add up. Where?
Yeah, I get it.
It's not a fair fight. It's just not.
No, it's not. No.
And so if we continue to go down this path and you just continue to let LIV do its thing and operate under the current business model, professional golf, as we know it, it's over. It's gone. I mean, the PGA Tour is over.
Now, because it's just LIV, then it's just fun tournaments every weekend. And that's what we want.
And
the World Tour. Yeah, I didn't say I wanted that. I like more golf is better.
No.
The three tours are great. The Corn Ferry, LPGA. College, I told you, I love watching it all.
I mean, can you imagine the NFL as you know it completely gone?
No.
Right.
But that won't happen. I mean, it's not possible.
But your legacy as a player, I know your family, like as a player, bus behind you, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that you put into this as a Chicago Bear, as great a player as you were, as many people that look up to you and what you meant to the city of Chicago and the Chicago Bears and the NFL, back to your New Mexico days, like, all of that, Brian, in time, it gets erased because the NFL is no longer, right? I mean, like, let's just say LIV takes over. Like, it's no longer. And, like, that would mean something to you, right? The history and the players that were before you and Ditka, right? And those guys, like, that would.
Butkus, those guys, yeah.
And Butkus, like, that would mean something to you.
For sure, if that was ever a possibility, but it's not a possibility.
But that's my point, right? It's like. Like, that is the possibility that's happening in the PGA Tour right now. It's being erased. It's being erased. Guys are jumping for money. They're jumping for money.
The NFL is a monopoly as well, correct? I guess when you look at professional football.
Yeah, right. Just like it certainly is.
Just like the PGA Tour was, right? You know, they had the monopoly for so long, and now you got somebody. But it would be so hard. I'm sorry. You're right. I would not be happy about it to answer your question. I don't think I would like that. But it'd be so hard to do with football. It's just different because – all the best players are here in the United States and want to play in the NFL. And the owners, you know, pay them.
Most of the best players are in the United States in professional golf.
Except for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. I mean, the Ryder Cup. Except but I'm just saying, like,
the Ryder Cup, yeah.
But what I'm saying, when you look at it from a state standpoint, when you look at it from a nation standpoint, I mean, the United States is taking on Europe, which is consistency of a lot of country. The United States and the President's Cup is taking on the rest of the world. Right. I mean,
we're good in the President's Cup. I like that.
We've got some work to do in the Ryder Cup.
It's pissing me off, man. This year, I thought we had a good chance. And after day one, I was like, oh, this isn't good.
But even there now, like, even when you look at what's happening with LIV, right? Like, you have to recognize the fact that it's taking away.
Well, yeah.
Important in the history and the legacy of professional golf and the PGA Tour and the Ryder Cup. You had guys that will not be able to captain and play in that, and probably going to continue.
That's the PGA Tour's fault. They made the rules. You know, they didn't like it. So now Rory's coming out saying John will definitely be a part of our 2025 team, even though they need to look at this rule. But when Henrik Stenson left, he was like, the best thing about him going to LIV is he won't have to be on the 2023 Ryder Cup team, right? Do you remember something like that, Rory saying something like that?
Yeah,
me too. And now he changed his tone because his boy John went over there, the best player on the European side. You know, it's different how people's tone changes. You talk about the guys, their tone changes for the money. Well, now these guys' tone change for the Ryder Cup and stuff like that. When it benefits them, you know, maybe they should come back now and play the Ryder Cup, even they're at LIV. Which, you know, and as I watched the Ryder Cup, I'm like, damn, Tony should have been on that, in my opinion. Tony Finau should have been there. Keegan Bradley, you got Bryson DeChambeau, who had a great season. There's guys that could have possibly been on that team.
Yep.
But, you know, the process just didn't work out so well, and we didn't win. I shouldn't say we. The USA didn't win.
All right, so you have golf as a fan. You like it. The ratings are going to say most don't in LIV. There's certain areas of the world that they've went to this point that they've been able, I think, to make somewhat of an impact.
Yes.
And I think as a world tour, I think is that important in the growth of the game? And do those countries deserve that? Of course. Like I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I think the path that we're going down when you scan out, right, and you look at professional golf as a whole, and you look at a real threat in the PGA Tour going away. Do I think it'll go away? I don't think it will, but
it's gonna be different.
But why?
Much different.
But why would PIF just, I mean, there is no budget. Like it's like you can just continue to spend. If you can go out and spend $600, and here's how inflated it is, okay? Mm-hmm. I'll give you this. Here's how inflated and ridiculous it is right now in professional golf, which I hate because fans are going to go away and it's eating itself right now. It's happening right before our eyes. Here's how inflated it is. Ohtani is the greatest Major League Baseball player of all time.
Because of what he got paid?
No, because he's the only guy that's been ever to be able to hit and pitch at the level that he did in both. Babe Ruth is it.
I'm going to let you have that one. I don't think he's the best. You can't be the best of all time in 3 years.
Okay. 4 years, so, however long it's been. So Ohtani's going to be one of the best players of all time.
If he stays healthy and performs, yes, he would probably.
He just signed a deal for what? $700 million?
$700 million
for 10 years. 10 years. Okay, what is that? I can even do that math. $70 million.
$70 million a year, yeah.
So John Rahm just did a deal for $600 million for three.
It's awesome. $200 million a year. It's amazing.
Major League Baseball is 4 to 5 times bigger revenue wise than golf.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they have so many games.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, so many games.
If you want to look at it from a business standpoint, like 99.9% of this world has to look at it. This is a business. We have to run a business. We have to be physically responsible.
Go back to that again, okay?
We have to be physically responsible.
Okay.
Major League Baseball is 4 to 5 times bigger. They just paid someone $700 million over 10 years in professional golf. LIV just came in and said, hey, John Rahm, 3 years, $600 million. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Congratulations, Big John. You earned it. $600 million.
Well, good for him. I'm not saying that. Amazing. I'm just saying that from a business standpoint, like, none of that makes sense. It doesn't even make sense. You can't compete with that, right? I mean,
is it a competition? I didn't know it was competition.
You can't compete with that. Now, as a fan, I get you want to watch it, but you got to. I mean, but you have to look at it from a macro standpoint and say that doesn't make sense. Like what's the objective?
They got the number two player in the world to come play in their golf tournaments. Well, does that make sense to them? I mean, Victor Hovland made what, $40 billion last year on the PGA Tour? $38 million, right? Something like that.
That seems high. I don't think it was that much.
I think it was a lot. It was like 30-something million. It was a lot. And my man Taylor Gooch made like $38 million as well. $38 million on LIV. You know
what I'm saying? In professional golf, if the PGA Tour means something to you, like in the comparison I made to the NFL, which it does to me, and I'm not a former player.
Gotcha.
I don't want it all to be erased. You know, like I want.
The PGA Tour is never going to be erased. They're never going to erase. The majors are still going to exist. They're still going to have these big tournaments. The PGA
majors are not the PGA Tour. Those are four separate deals.
Yeah, but how does Tiger rank his career?
Tiger is well.
Rory, no. They all talk about the majors.
82 wins on the PGA Tour, most of all time.
They all talk about the majors, though. Correct? I don't understand.
No, I get it.
Don't make the PGA Tour, but the players all talk about the four majors and the players.
Yeah.
Which the little guys can't play in the players, obviously. But they all talk about the majors, right? Because that's what the big selling point to the guys who left the PGA Tour. You can still play in the majors for now. And obviously, you win one, you're exempt for 5 years, right? In every major.
Yeah.
So play good, and you're going to be rewarded. I think that's the motto out there. You play good in these big tournaments, you get rewarded.
Yeah, but not to $600 million. You can't see where that kind of spending is going to be detrimental to the professional golf game long term?
I mean, the more guys leave the PGA Tour to go to LIV, the more spots open up for new guys to come on the PGA Tour. More jobs. Goes both ways, right? Is that not true?
More jobs.
The more guys that leave the PGA Tour to go to LIV.
It's not going to sustain itself if they just continue to pluck guys because they don't. It doesn't matter how much they spend over there. All right, we're not.
I get your point, but I'm just saying the PGA Tour is not going to go anywhere. They're still going to have their sponsors. They're still going to have all their six elevated events that they never had money to pay them before. But when LIV came into the picture, now they have all the money. They all of a sudden have this extra money. They can make these elevated events. What happened there?
But here's what's happening. All right, here's what's happening. And I think the tour, and I don't know, and I'm not inside there, but they tried to counter, right? Elevate the purses.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did go into the reserves and ask sponsors to spend more, but they can't physically continue. They can't physically continue to go down that path right now. I think they're overspending when it comes to those events.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. what the market is willing to pay in the world of sponsorship. Wells Fargo just said, no, I'm not paying that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the trickle down. That's what you're starting to see right now is you're starting to see major sponsors.
They just can't keep up. Yeah. So why is it
going to be competition? Who can?
Why is it going
to
be competition, though?
I mean, Wells Fargo.
If the guy wants to go to LIV, let him go to LIV. We don't have to elevate our events to compete with LIV. If the best players in the world want to go play on the LIV, go play on the LIV. We'll keep our events the same here. And if they want to play here and, you know, as you would say, their legacy will be the PGA Tour and playing in our events and playing the John Deere and playing the Milwaukee Open and stuff like that, then let's do that. And they can stay here. If not, they can go play on the LIV and have no terrible TV ratings. Terrible TV ratings, right, Travis?
Who? LIV?
The LIV. They can go play on the LIV where they have horrible TV ratings, but they're going to make a shit ton of money. Or they can stay here on the PGA Tour and play in our events, and we're not going to elevate them and quit trying to compete with LIV because it's not a competition, you know, but they're going to pluck some guys. So you got to know they're going to pluck some guys that are going to make their tournaments, you know, probably a little better because they have better. The best players in the world are not going to be playing on the PGA Tour. That commercial's out now.
So now
the commercial says the golf channel commercial, yeah. The best yeah. players in the world play here. That
was so
dead.
this is where we're, so it leaves us now to where we are, which is the PGA Tour has to do a deal. Now they have to do a deal and they've got less leverage than I think they did before.
They did it to themselves
and
they handled it so bad, Travis. And you agree with that?
I mean,
situation's so bad.
They certainly should have at least taken a call. Right. I mean, and have a conversation about how real the threat is of this amount of money being spent.
And someone told me that a couple of years ago, Phil had approached Monahan with someone wanted to invest $1 billion into the PGA Tour and some firm out west that wasn't even the Saudis. It was and Monahan wouldn't even take the call.
Right.
He was like, I'm good. I don't know if it's the same story you're referring to, but yeah.
No,
Monahan,
yeah, it is.
Monahan was like, yeah, no, I'm good. We're set. Yeah. And now look at you.
Right. No, I mean they didn't evaluate the risk very well, did they? I mean the amount
LIV was going to be what it's going to be either. You
know, that's right, and the amount of money they were going to spend in the whole bit, and then being able to say, "Hey,
fun tournaments, shorts," you know, no one knew it was going to be great like that. How much do players hate that they get to wear shorts? It's crazy to me. It's so comfortable wearing shorts. I hate wearing pants on the golf course. It drives me crazy.
You should have. Would you want to wear shorts playing in an NFL game?
We did wear shorts, basically. Our pants went down to our knees. Some guys wear them above, but we have to pull our socks all the way up, or you get a $46,000 fine for the code of
If LIV took over the NFL, and they were like, hey, what's the equivalent in football that you would want to see? I mean, would you just like be a half top, like you would so you could show your stomach and no socks?
I mean, I wasn't like that. I like to cover up my. I wore knee pads. A lot of guys don't wear knee pads. I'm
okay.
Trying to not get hurt, guy. Thigh pads, yes.
Yeah.
Knee pads, correct. Helmet strapped up, correct.
Yeah.
Trying to not get hurt, guy. That was my thing. So if it was a safety thing, you know, you want to follow. It's a little different because you got to follow the rules when it comes to safety in the NFL. But if you want to pull your shirt up to here, go ahead. Let's see your abs, bro. Let's see them.
So we go back to our conversation here, and we're at a point now where it's a hostile takeover. It's a hostile takeover is what this is.
And either
you're good with it or you're not. You're good with it because you kind of like the LIV side. lot of other people would.
I got friends on both sides. I got friends on both sides.
Yeah, you know? And so do I.
I don't like seeing the divide. It's frustrating to see. I feel like the PGA Tour has taken so many shots at the LIV guys. The LIV guys haven't said a whole bunch. I mean, there's a few things, but I think there's a little bit. They hushed them up a little bit with the upper management. Maybe might be hushing them a little bit on what they can say, because they don't say a whole lot about the PGA Tour.
Which I don't think is great for the game either. Honestly, I was critical of the PGA Tour covering everything up and not showing the human side of an athlete. And now that's what's happening over in LIV. These guys don't say anything because they're not allowed to. And so they make all this money. They make all this money, and it's all just supposed to be, you know, everything's great over here, guys. And it very well may be, and it should be, when you're being overpaid to what the market really is in professional golf. Like, these things just don't happen. I mean, like, you don't go to work for someone that's like, hey, hey, here's an extra $12 million because there are no books.
Because you play great, man. Way to work your tail off your whole life. Now we're going to reward you for working your ass off. We're going to reward you guys. Come to LIV. Congratulations. Good job, guys. You busted your butt all these years. Now we're going to reward you. What's wrong with that?
And good for them. And good for them. And I praise them. I don't talk down on them, but just save us the insult that you're going to do it to grow the game. Just save us with the insult on the way out, John Rahm. Like, no one's buying that BS.
I don't think John insulted anybody. John's one of the classiest guys out there, in my opinion, as well. All the way, even the way
He lost some face.
Because he jumped for $600 million.
He did. I mean, he got bought, which is fine. Just say it. It's a lot of money. Harold Varner III, at least.
You don't think Rory's bought for the PGA by the PGA Tour?
He probably is.
But that's okay. How about the way it made him look when the PGA Tour flipped and tried to make this merger, and all the guys who stayed there who yapped about how bad LIV was, this and that, and then they merge, or they're trying to merge or do something. How did it make them look?
Yeah, well,
they lost a lot of face too. The PGA Tour obviously lost
agreed.
A ton of face.
Agreed.
And players who stood up and blabbed about the guys who left and, they just want the money. Obviously, they want the money.
It's a hostile takeover, and that's where we're at right now.
Who's the hostile ones? I'm confused.
Coming in with no budget, spending.
Well, how is that hostile? That's great for the players.
Great for the players, but as an industry, it's a take.
Worse is the guys who don't get offered are the ones who are the most pissed off.
Yeah, probably.
Right? 100% they're mad because they get that offer.
I got, you know, there's a list of mules that came out today on Twitter on that they wrote a letter to the PGA Tour board that they're kind of demanding what's next. And you know, you've got the names of Grayson Murray and Brent Grant and like those kinds of names on the list. Yeah. That are now demanding.
Because they didn't get approached by LIV. So now they're mad that they want to get made whole by the PGA Tour. I know how to get made whole. Win an event, play better, make more money.
or 47 at the end of your career, built yourself a little name, brand value, right?
Bam. Boom.
Those guys got.
Yep. Lee Westwood, Henrik Stenson. There's a bunch of guys that just got paid to go over. I mean, that's great. You know, they won their majors. They did what they want to do on the PGA Tour, DP Tour.
Whoa.
Now they're gone. What?
Ian Poulter didn't.
I didn't say
didn't
Ian Poulter.
Win.
You said Ian Poulter. I said, well, Lee Westwood didn't win one either. But they did what they. I said
no,
they did
Lee
they
Westwood.
Won, they did what they yeah. wanted to on their tours, and then they jumped ship, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I said.
Like I get it. I'm not criticizing those people. Like, I get it. Right. Like they got money. They got paid, you know, and go do your thing. It's just the insults on the way out.
The model down for these guys who are yapping to the guys who wrote the letter about how they can make it happen to go to LIV. Right? play better on the PGA Tour.
No, I'm just saying like that's the current state of the game right now. That's the current state of the game that we're at right now is through this hostile takeover. It's chaos. I mean, it's absolute chaos.
I'm not calling it a hostile takeover. Plus, you know what?
What do you mean? What is it?
I don't really. Like, there's guys out there I've never heard of.
Here, hold on.
Yeah. So when I went to the events, I'm like, who's this guy? I mean, you got these huge names, and you got some of the greatest players of all time. You know,
here Westbrook, we go.
Poulter.
A hostile takeover is a type of acquisition where a company, the acquirer, LIV, takes control of another company, the target company, PGA Tour Professional Golf, without the approval or consent of the target company's board of directors. I mean, like, that's the path we're going down right now.
Well, the PGA Tours have plenty of chances to kind of, you know, prior to Liv coming, like we talked about earlier, they've had a chance to sit down before this Liv happened. Just didn't want to do it. They're so hard headed and so better than everybody else that they didn't have to do it.
Yeah, that's true. I think some of that is true, right? And we don't know what the deal point was hey.
I don't want to know that. Yeah, it's just,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm a bonehead who has an opinion, you know, like everybody else. And in my opinion, it's the right one, though.
Right. So right? We don't know what the deal
my
points
opinion's
are.
Right, though, Travis. Mine's right.
Yeah, your opinion's right that you're going to allow professional golf to eat itself.
No, there is no right or wrong. I don't feel like it's whatever you feel, you know, and time will tell, right? Time will tell. We'll see what happens.
If we continue to go down this path, I think there's going to be, we'll finish with this. I think there's going to be, there's got to be a merger. There has to be some kind.
I was going to say, do you see a merger happening and everything just being one tour? The PGA and Liv merge and boom, we're good. Do you see that happening?
I think that they're going to come together. I do think, yeah. I do believe, and I don't know this. I'm just speculating, right? I do think that the PIF wants a seat at the table with the PGA Tour.
Yes, agreed.
Okay. And so if they didn't and they just wanted to bury them, they could just continue to spend money and all that. And it would take them a lot more money, I think, to bury them. But they're on their way.
They are, yeah. But they just called the Liv PGA Tour.
So, but I also think they're smart and they want a spot at the table and they're obviously investing in golf and they want that to be part of their diversity away from oil and this and that, you know, for the next 30 years. So the PGA Tour is going to have to come to the table. They've lost leverage. How that deal comes together, I don't know. Like who knows what those deal points are, if it makes sense and it's heavily weighted one way or the other. But I think for professional golf, as we know it, if you care about the PGA Tour, you care about somewhat of the history and the legacy of the game, the example that I brought to you and what your legacy has meant in professional world in golf or in the NFL and football, et cetera, et cetera, then yeah, I do care about that. And so,
if you care about your sports legacy, correct. Not your family.
And so I want, right. And so I want that to come together. And I think if it did come together, I think the PIF is smart enough to know that they have to lead with the PGA Tour brand because it has way more value.
Yes.
And that, does that mean that Liv goes away? I don't know. Maybe Liv is a more of an entertainment type of package, a little more casual that travels the world, or, you know, I don't know, maybe the PGA Tour is what travel. I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
But the two have to come together. If they don't,
PGA Tour is gone.
But professional golf is in shambles. It's gone. It's going to go backwards.
I don't think professional golf is gone. I mean, there's still so many tournaments to watch. There's still going to be sponsors that want to be part of the PGA Tour because of that brand. And the players involved with it, you know, these players
in this country,
a ton of money off the golf course, which, you know,
you can talk about the world all you want in this country. Professional golf, as you know, it won't even be an image of itself, a shadow of itself. If the PGA Tour goes away,
if the PGA Tour goes away.
Yeah.
Well,
in this country,
if they merge and it's just the Liv Tour, the PGA Tour is out, but it's called Liv, but the same players and the same management. What's the difference?
I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree. They're not going to get rid of that PGA. I agree.
Well, I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. No, I don't think, because I think PIF.
PGA Liv Tour or Liv PGA Tour, whatever that may be.
I think PIF understands PGA Tour has way more value. And so they're going to, they want a seat at that table. They want a seat and they want to be a part of that. Now, does Liv go away? I don't know. But
I don't know. But well, according to a lot of people that I talk to, it should be gone already. Got guys like announcers, players on tour. It's going to be gone in a year. It's done.
I never felt that way. Honestly, I always felt like, I mean, these guys got a lot of money. Like,
they got a lot of bread.
They got a lot of bread. They're not concerned about turning a profit here. Like, this is.
The couple guys on the tour and some announcers that I'm friends with have said, well, the TV's terrible. I go, do you think they care? Do you think they care about getting sponsors for their TV so people can watch it? No, that's the TV deal they got right now, so people can watch it. If you want to watch it, go there. If not, they don't care. Go to the event. They don't care.
I think they do care. I think they want to.
They get sponsors, or their TV coverage isn't great. I do like their announcers. Jerry Foltz is good. Obviously, Faraday's great. You don't know that Faraday guy?
No, I do. No, I like him. Yeah.
I think he's great.
I don't mind him.
The on course could be a little better, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like having my man John Wood out there or Colton.
Yeah, the on-course struggles. The TV product in look, a TV product in general is tough, you know, in professional golf, the amount of commercials. I mean, I guess the one thing that when you don't have sponsors, you're going to have less commercials, right?
Yeah. But how great is John Wood at in Bone?
John's great. Yeah. Dude, he's fantastic.
I
mean,
he's sorry, what, last year? He's great. I love this. Mm-hmm. Colt's great, obviously.
Colt.
He's the best.
Amanda, I think, does a great job.
Amanda Ballinos is really good at interviews. Yeah, she does. They're just so knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't say stupid things. They're funny. I love John. I could listen to John Wood talk all day because I know he's been there on the bag and done all situations.
Does it remind me of talking to me? When you talk to me, do you get
very
that same sense?
Talking to you about when we're on the golf course and you're giving tips and stuff. By the way, my game's in shambles right now, Travis.
Well, let's work on it. Why don't you come see me in the studio when you get here in Florida? Come up here.
So I can embarrass myself?
I've got this full private studio.
I'm not hitting a damn screen because the screen does nothing for my game.
You know what's great?
It doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does. You know what's great up here?
I want to see my ball.
Yes, it does. You know what's great in here is I have so much money too that it's not pretty. You don't have to pay. You have to sit. I'm not even for profit either.
Did you jump ship?
Everybody that comes in here, I'm like, don't worry about it. Keep your wallet in your pocket.
I want to help you. I'm here for you. I want to help you because I've done so well for my podcast.
I told my wife, I'm like, how do I go to work for somebody that making a profit? It's not even. And,
not even,
you know,
a big deal. Great.
I don't have a skill set for that though.
You and me both, buddy.
See, you did. You did. And if
they're trying to make a profit.
<That's right. laughs> Yeah. You know what that's called? That's called salary cap.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, salary right? cap, man.
You know what the salary cap does in the NFL? It's one of the reasons. It's parity, right? It makes it an equal playing field. Right.
Yeah, I agree, but man, how these teams are so bad. When you have to spend a certain amount of cap, and you got these teams who are bad every single year. I don't get it. Is it management? Got to be management, right? Or they don't know how to draft players.
I don't know. It goes back to what we said earlier. I just, you know, I'm an amateur of my analysis, but I'm watching. I'm like, man, there's some really good football players, like there always is, and there's some really good football teams. But man, there's some bad teams, Brian. Like, just
there are, yeah. Agreed.
Bad.
But they could still win any Sunday. The crazy thing about it, no matter how bad you are, if you play good on that Sunday, right? It's just, it can happen, you know? It's weird. NFL's weird. The parity is at an all-time high, I think. But who's your team?
Seattle. Speaking of bad.
Oh. Well, they're not that bad. They're just not good. They're not as good as they have been. They're middle of the road, right? They're around 500.
We've lost 4 straight. We're 6-7 now.
Oh, that's not great. Okay.
Right. Yeah. We've had a tough schedule.
Tough
49ers twice.
49ers are good.
Play Philly now.
Playing really good in that division.
I think 49ers are one of the best teams that I've seen in quite some time right now.
Well, after the skid, right? The 3-game skid, what happened?
Yeah.
Injuries. You got your guys, but McCaffrey's back. Debo's back. Brock's healthy. Yep. I love Brock Purdy, by the way.
You don't blow out teams in the NFL, Brian. They've blown out.
Everybody. Well,
they've
like
blown
Philly
out everybody. Like, they've beaten us by 2 scores both times. They beat the Jags bad here.
If you go to Dallas, you're going to get blown
Dallas.
Out, by the way.
Huh?
They pound Dallas in San Fran. But when you go to Dallas, man, Dallas will blow you out, too. They're gonna score 35 on you.
Look, I went to the game on Thursday when Seattle was in Dallas. I flew out there, and we almost had them. You know, we were
until you didn't.
Until we didn't. No,
I'm a Cowboys fan, by the way. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Of course you are. Yeah. Of course you are. See, we just don't see things the same way. That's
we don't. No.
But we're friends and respect each other.
I'm a glass half full guy. You're a glass half empty guy. We're just different. I'm a positive guy. You're
that's not true.
You're
that's not, you know that. That's not true.
I'm kidding. I'm an optimist. This is different. Hey,
you show up here for your lesson, I will screw your game up even more.
Good luck, buddy. I got so many thoughts going through my head right now. Oh, geez. Anyway.
Oh, if I got your club face more shut.
It's shut. Oh, I'm shut.
Mm. I'll believe that when I see it.
Boyd's got me shut. The wrist is bowed.
Who did this?
Boyd. Boyd got me square.
Oh, okay. Boyd, okay.
Because when I went to Boyd, I was hitting my 7-iron 150, 145.
Yeah, because you're hitting like a lob wedge.
I know. It was like a 60-degree wedge, man. I know. But now the 7-iron is like 185, 190. We're good.
Wow.
Now the direction is what we got to worry about. That's my left hand, by the way.
Left.
Because the face is shut and my path is across. We got to get my path more. It's not my teacher. It's the guy. There's a little thing, believe it or not, between my ears that kind of holds me back sometimes.
So I bet you Boyd's kind of happy that Tony said no to Liv, because if Tony said yes to Liv, then he's got to go to the Liv events and the PGA Tour events. And, you know, those guys.
He's got Taylor Gooch as well. So he goes
That's
to
true.
Both anyway.
That's
so
true.
Be,
good point.
It might be easier because then you would have Tony and Taylor on the same tour.
Look at that. You're right again. I'm wrong.
No, Ryan's right again. It might be easier if they're both on the same yeah. tour. But now Boyd's
no, you're
go
right.
everywhere to see his guys, which I'm sure he doesn't mind.
Okay, so let's agree. Cool, let's agree in a year's time, we'll jump back on again.
Yes, and definitely. When there's 46 guys jump ship again, we'll go back and talk again and see what.
When the PGA Tour is out of business,
no way.
Golf is completely in shambles, and I'm doing the podcast from my garage
van down by the river. You're stealing someone's Wi-Fi to do your podcast,
right? Yeah, right. Hotspot, turn your hotspot on,
and I can still be right, even more righter when we talk then.
All right. Brian, thank you.
Thanks, Travis. Take care, bro.
All right. Play well.